Welcome to Half Ass Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Patreon.
All right, so welcome to Half Ass. I'm Jude.
I'm Brix.
And I'm Brix.
Two?
As well, also.
Junior.
Today, like in the title of your episode, we're talking about the Lincoln Highway.
And that's Pete, that with that deep, the bricks with the deeper voice.
Oh, these, I guess there could be somebody who's the first time listening. They're like, oh, Bricks has a son she named after herself.
So I didn't look up Lincoln Highway. You guys going to tell me about what it is?
Oh, yeah. It's the first road that was created from coast to coast in the United States of America.
What? I thought that was Route 22. Or what is that? Route 66?
Nope.
Oh, no.
This was before 66.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. The Lincoln Highway is in our area, known as Route 30. I used to live on it.
I used to live on it, too.
A couple years ago.
Different houses, though.
I wouldn't be very surprised if a lot of our listeners also lived on it, since it goes across the entire country.
Oh, that's true.
It starts in Times Square, New York, and it ends in Land's End, San Francisco, California. So, coast to coast. Mm. I did not know that. I knew it was called the Lincoln Highway, because whenever I lived on it, my next-door neighbor... he wrote a song, and in the song he was like singing about his house, and he called it the Lincoln Highway because he didn't like the way Route 30 sounded in his song. So that's the first time I ever heard of Lincoln Highway.
I think researching this was the first time I've ever heard of Lincoln Highway. I used to live on an intersection of Lincoln and South Fremont. But I don't, it was like right up next to 65. So I think Lincoln Highway would actually be down by where 65 was.
Wow.
Yeah, but
I don't know where South Fremont is.
Oh, no, that's in Bellevue. That's not important. Like the where 65 is, though, I think that's where the original Lincoln Highway was. Because I saw a video on YouTube of a guy that was just like, I think Glenwood. This is Glenwood, Pennsylvania, and we still have the original yellow brick roading from the original Lincoln Highway. And he like gave like a little like history lesson, and then he's like, "We're about to ride on it." And then he just drives down the road. And I don't know if you've ever driven on like yellow,
he's like bouncing up and down.
Yeah, it was just like, it's horrible. He's like, "The speed limit's 25, but I don't know if we can go that fast." And he's just,
oh wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of those brick roads that are still around that area. Like Bellevue is the place in our city that has the most amount of brick roads still.
I really think they're pretty, but I don't like to drive on them.
No,
yeah, they do look nice. But
and when it,
that's
whenever,
where it ends.
Whenever it like snows, like whenever water freezes over, they are so slick. Mm. It's crazy. It's not a good design. Mm. It's pretty, but not a good design.
But they were yellow. Were they yellow everywhere or just in Bellevue?
I don't know. Huh. I would imagine there has to be some red brick roads, right?
Oh.
The whole Lincoln Highway wasn't bricks.
No, it definitely was not.
Okay. I didn't. I just wanted to let somebody know. Okay. Whoever thought maybe that was the case.
So the
not
way,
saying that either of you thought that, but
so the way that they set up the Lincoln Highway is that there was roads that were already in towns across the U.S., but there was like no interlocking or interconnecting maybe words. Right. So what they did is they devised a plan to connect the roads that were from town to town together all the way across the United States. And in some areas, that was really, really bad because most of it was just all dirt because they didn't, this is all like privately backed. There wasn't any like like government money that funded the roads yet. Pete, do you have like the people about like the people that started it?
Yeah. Carl Fisher was the founder of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is where the Indy 500 takes place now. And he also owned a company called the Presto Light Company, which made headlights for cars of the time. So in 1912, he had the idea of creating a road that went from coast to coast, and he wanted to call it the Coast to Coast Rock Highway. And so he went to automobile manufacturers and told them like what his idea was and asked them for donations. And he got $300,000 from a guy named Frank S. I don't know how to say his last name, but he was the president of Goodyear Tires.
What year was and that?
That was, well, in 1912 was the year that he had the idea. 1913 is when stuff started happening.
$300,000 is a lot of money nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah, even now. Like, for somebody to donate that is a lot, but I have no idea what that is in today's money.
Yeah, I don't know.
Henry Joy was the, I think he was the owner of Packard Motor Company, and he donated $150,000. Altogether, Carl Fisher, the guy that this was his dream, received $4 million in pledges from people to start this road project. One person who did not, one person who did not donate was Henry Ford. He was against people giving their own money for something like this. He thought that the government should take care of it and build the roads because it would help the country, which I see where he's coming from, but think you're just being cheap.
I think you're right.
But anyway, it probably wouldn't have happened without Henry Ford, though, because it was his cars that were the ones getting driven. The Packard, I don't know exactly how much that would cost, but those were considered really expensive cars. Henry Ford's cars at the very beginning of this started at like $1,200 to $1,400 per car. But whenever he came out with the Model T, they started at $850. So that was a great deal more affordable for people. Mm-hmm. And they kept getting cheaper and cheaper. By 1925, to buy a Model T only cost $260.
That's so crazy.
That was like, I don't know how much a Packard cost back then or a Studebaker, but they were able to like pump them out so quickly that they were giving them away for a fraction of what the other car companies were selling them. So it was his cars that were actually on the road and got people to actually care about this thing.
Well, I just want to let
you know. Britt, are you typing something?
Nope.
What is that noise? Maybe somebody's feeding their pigeon.
The difference, the $300,000 is worth $7.8 million today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of money for them to get to barely be able to, like, that was a lot of money for that guy to get to not really put it into the road, because it was a lot of areas. It was the people that were doing it, not what's his face, Carl Fisher. Ow.
Are you okay?
Well, he was like organizing people to do it, and I don't think that the people who were helping build it were like taking money out of their own pockets to build the road. And they were probably getting paid to build the road too.
Oh, maybe.
So for a while I just wrote a whole bunch of stuff about Henry Ford. So by 1927, there were 15 million Model Ts on the road, or at least sold by that point. I'm sure some of them had been crashed and stuff. Henry Joy, who was the, I believe he was the owner of the Packard Company.
Yeah.
He suggested the name Lincoln Highway because it's going to connect the country. And he like saw that as like a analogy for what Lincoln did with the Civil War, bringing the country back together.
I like that Henry B. Joy guy. He's an outdoorsman.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I liked him too.
He used to drive his cars, like, because he was the president of the Packard Motor Car Company. He would drive his cars like on the Lincoln Highway to test it out, but he was mainly just like trying to like fix the highway. And he said that there was like a lot of like he ran into like a lot of problems on the road, but he enjoyed every second of it. And he any second that he didn't have to spend in a boardroom was definitely well better spent.
Well, it worked out for him because he ended up becoming the president of the Lincoln Highway.
I thought that happened.
Carl Fisher, who this was like his idea, became the vice president. And I'm pretty sure that I read that Carl Fisher, he was like a dreamer, but he wasn't like great at getting things like done in reality. Like, not that he was bad at getting things done, because obviously this happened, but I think he knew that he wasn't the one to be like completely in charge of it.
Yeah, but if it's noted that he's not good at getting things done, it probably got done because of the people he pulled in.
True. Yeah. Well, in that case, still, like, you're good at getting things done because you're good at
getting people to do your work for you.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
In September 14th of 1913, it's hard to say because I don't want, like, I don't know, I never said 1913 before. Anyway, I said it earlier in this episode. They made the route public, so they like told people what roads would be taken. And it went through 12 states, and most of the roads were really bad. They were really muddy. People would have to take a whole bunch of spare tires and all these parts with them because the roads were so bad they would end up breaking parts off of their car. Somebody said that they would take up to 6 spare tires with them on a trip across the country.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, on one documentary I watched, they're mainly focusing on, like, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And, some of the pictures, and, like the pictures that they have of the vehicles, like, they would be axle deep, if not, like, almost completely submerged in mud. Right.
And these, the Model T was really high. Like, yeah. It wasn't like it was a low-riding vehicle.
So they would really, really sink. And then I have that, what I saw that farmers and ranchers, like, you get stuck that bad, you need help. So they would go to, like, the local farmers or ranchers and ask them to pull them out. And so some farmers and ranchers absolutely hated these automobiles because people were also, like, hitting their chickens and stuff with, like, no remorse. They're taking out their farm animals. So some farmers were trying to sabotage the road. They would throw tacks on the road. And then some threatened tourists with guns. Like, they were over it. They were not having it. But, like, I guess cowboy movies were big at that time, so people were really wanted to drive out west to witness people like cowboys in the wild, and they got them, I guess, like with a barrel full of hospitality.
That was perfect. I loved it.
They also didn't have bridges or anything, so I was watching videos of them going across creek beds. Oh my gosh, that looks like that would be scary as hell. Like, they're just really steep creek beds, and they would just kind of, like, angle it a little bit and just ride on in. Like, mm-hmm. No fear.
Did you see them riding across railroad bridges?
Oh, yeah, like, wow.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if, like, people died or if it was, like, pretty clear. Like, there's no train coming, and we only have to go, like, 45 feet.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I've seen Stand By Me. That seems like that's intense.
I know. I saw it too.
I haven't seen it. My wife makes fun of me for not seeing it.
It's a really good movie. But I was actually on a train once when they hit somebody.
No.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, they didn't. It was a kid and they were playing chicken.
Oh my gosh.
Two kids. There was a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. And they were playing chicken and the 6-year-old didn't make it. That's horrifying because I still feel the whole, I still feel like where we were that like you felt the train go up and you could, yeah, it was awful.
But you didn't know, right?
I didn't know why we were stopped. Yeah, we stopped and we were there for a while. And then someone said why we were there so long.
Dude.
Where were their parents? Why would you ever play chicken with a train?
I don't know. But there were houses very close to the tracks.
Oh, I shouldn't be blaming their parents. They're like, they went through like a huge loss there. That's like,
I know.
I have this thing, like I can't let kids out of my sight. Like if I'm around a kid, I have to keep my eyes on it. Like I have to.
I know. I was always getting injured as a kid because I was really klutzy. So now that, yeah, when there's kids around, I always want to watch them too because I know what I went through.
And like for like have, especially at like 6, I guess 10, if you're sending him outside with a 10-year-old, like his 10-year-old brother, you would think his 10-year-old brother would know better than to play chicken with a train.
Right.
It's like even just sending Drave outside at 10.
Mm-hmm. They may I don't know. They may have done it 100 times. Maybe his foot got caught. I don't know. It's just, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I even whenever Draven was 10, I didn't let him outside except for to go to school without me. Right. No, actually, I drove him up until he was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have trust issues.
I have trust issues as well, yeah.
Oh man, so I have, so after I had like the news about the railroad bridges, I have the phrase, fix what's bad first.
Yeah.
Is that whenever they started enlisting like the private sector, like private people or?
Yeah, I think that was, it wasn't like, I think that was like local chapters of the Lincoln Highway, would go and do that. I don't know if they got compensated for their time or if it was just these are a motor club or something like that who wanted to make the roads around their neighborhood better or build up a bridge or something like that. It was definitely like local people. What do you think?
The documentary that I watched that said it was definitely local people, but it sounded like they weren't getting paid. It was just like people trying to fix the roads.
Yeah, I don't think they were getting paid, those people. Is that what you just said, too?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just making sure. I didn't know if I just said the opposite. Did you hear about Medicine Bow in Elk Mountain?
Yeah, I wonder if we watched the same documentary.
I'm sure we did. I watched a bunch of documentaries, but there was one that was by far best.
Was it this one? That you're
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I watched a bunch too. This one was my favorite.
Medicine Bow and Elk Mountain are two towns in Wyoming. And both had a hotel. Both had like local attractions. One of them had like natural springs, and the other one just I don't remember what they had. But
I don't think Medicine Bow had like a tourist thing. Like I only had that it had the Virginian Hotel because. He built this the Virginian Hotel in 1911, and then it was like it had electrical lighting. It was huge and like flashy and new with like the best technology. And 2 months later, the railroad stopped going through Medicine Bow, so he was just losing money hand over foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Elk Mountain was the one that had the springs and the clean water.
Yep.
And Elk Mountain would have been 18 miles shorter of a route than Medicine Bow. But August Grimm I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm impressed, or like I admire the effort that he did. So August Graham was the guy that built the Virginian Hotel, and since he was losing money, he was trying to like plead to the Laramie Council to try to get them to make the Lincoln Highway go through his town, but they weren't getting anywhere. So then he took it upon himself. He gets like some of his friends, and they make 60 facsimile signs that look like Lincoln Highway signs. And they put them up on the way to Laramie and to Rawlins. So they're like, they put up these fake signs everywhere. Like, so it was already marked as the Lincoln Highway, but it looked just like the Lincoln Highway signs. And then he invited the Chamber of Commerce from Laramie and Rawlins out to Medicine Bow. So they drive down the road. It's got all the signs on it. They make it to Medicine Bow, and they're met with like a huge cocktail party. And
Judy, what are you doing?
What?
I don't know. It sounds like somebody's moving furniture.
Yeah,
do you both hear?
Is that? Yeah.
I don't hear anything. I was trying to find the button on the iPad to turn it off because I didn't want the battery to die. Do you hear it now?
No.
That had to really? Be like, that's so weird. I didn't hear anything. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
I was ignoring it for a long time, and I couldn't take it anymore.
I was trying to find the off button, but I didn't want to take my mouth away from the thing, so I was just like turning it and turning it and turning it. Sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. But yeah, whenever he invites August Graham invites the Chamber of Commerce from Medicine Bow and Rawlins
do you need to take a minute now?
Have a sip of water.
Oh man. But yeah, so he invites the Chamber of Commerce to Medicine Bow from Laramie and Rawlins, and whenever they get there, there's like a huge cocktail party and a huge dinner. So he wows them. Like, they take the highway, it's already clearly marked. They get there, they have a great time, they go home. So then, afterwards, the Commerce is called the city engineer and advised them not to, like, go over any more planning because it was already labeled, it was already done, it was great, so that they didn't need to, like, consider Elk Mountain anymore.
Wait, who told them not to consider?
The Commerces.
Okay.
Like, the people that were wined and dined.
Yeah. I thought that was such a dirty move, but it was good. It was a good thing for Medicine Bow. Sucks for Elk Mountain and for the Lincoln Highway, because it would have been 18 miles shorter, and Elk Mountain had the same stuff to offer really,
or
plus
even
a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe even better, because it had they were boasting about having fresh, clear water, clean water, so I guess that was like a big deal.
I imagine the people at Medicine Bow had clean water too, but it wouldn't have been like the natural springs.
Yeah, because they had like pools, like natural spring pools. But it eventually, like, Elk Mountain got their day later on after they opened Interstate 80, because mm-hmm. Interstate 80 was opened away from Medicine Bow and away from the highway, or Lincoln Highway, and was by Elk Mountain instead.
Right.
And that completely killed all the businesses on that strip of, like, of the highway, Lincoln Highway.
Yeah, I have that Medicine Bow had 57 small businesses in 1970 when I-80 opened, and in 2013 they only had 5.
Wow.
Because of all the travelers going down I-80 instead of the Lincoln Highway. And they said it was like the death of Medicine Bow, and like she just said, like all the little communities that were along Lincoln Highway that were cut off by I-80. Not cut off. You could still go down Lincoln Highway, but it's not the fastest way anymore.
Some spots look like they don't exist anymore. Because I would like to try to ride on it. Like, I would like to travel it if I could. Because this seemed like it was really cool.
Mm-hmm. They did in 2013. It was like the 100-year anniversary, and they like drove the length of it. Now, well, that's what this documentary was about. Largely was about the 100-year anniversary, and they just had the. Well, we haven't gotten to that part yet. The 1919 Army convoy.
Oh yeah.
Well, in 1919, the Army was asked to drive the length of it by the Lincoln Highway, like, commission or whatever it's called, to see what it's like the struggles that it would take to get from one side of the country to the other. And it ended up taking them 62 days. And in one day, the Army had broken 14 bridges because of, like, the bridges were made out of wood by the local, like, car club or whoever. Mm. And so they're trying to take these, like, trucks and tanks. I don't know if there was tanks. I think there was, but trying to take all this heavy equipment across these bridges that were built by people who were not civil engineers, probably. So they broke all these bridges, and then the government had to fix them. And they saw the value in being able to get from one side of the country to the other quickly. So at that point, the federal government started I don't remember what it was called, but they had some plan where they would match funds spent on roads to state and local municipalities. They would match their whatever they were putting into the roads. And very quickly after that, the roads across America got a lot better.
Yeah, Eisenhower was, like, in that convoy, and he was really impressed by the Autobahn over in Europe, because they had been, World War One, too?
World War Two.
I know my history.
Well, I'm pretty sure it would have been World War Two, because I don't think the Autobahn was created yet. But I could be wrong, it could have been World War One.
I think you might be right with this.
Sorry, I'm being noisy, I think.
Just a little, you're not bad. So he wanted to take, like, they saw the worth in being able to move a lot of cars and heavy vehicles from one end of the country to the other. So in case, like, a war was ever brought onto American soil, like, the Lincoln Highway, like, that muddy death trap of a of a fun ride, wouldn't cut it. So it's like Eisenhower.
I'm sorry. You would think, though, that they would ship those by railroad cars. I would have thought that would be faster.
I think that it would have been. But in like a time of war, you might not have the... You might need to move stuff faster than however long it would take to load it up onto tracks and stuff.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. And maybe they're in case of a catastrophe or something, or somebody took out the railroads, or you want to be able to drive the car.
That's true.
I thought that this was such a cool piece of American history, and I never even knew it existed.
Well, I remember when I was in my teens, them calling Route 30 that we lived on, Lincoln Highway, and I'm like, well, that's stupid. It's Route 30. Like, why are they calling it Lincoln Highway? But originally, I guess it originally was Lincoln Highway, maybe. I don't know.
Well, like they, so, like what got me is that it started off that cars, vehicles, automobiles were only for rich people. Like, only rich people could afford them. And then the Model T came out, and then the working class could afford them. And then, well, upper middle class could afford them. And then it got really cheap with supplies, so everybody could afford them. And then it became, like, if you wanted to go on vacation, you would just drive across the United States. So you didn't need a destination. Like, right now, like, we travel so fast. We go from one point to the next because we're all about the destination now, not, like, the ride or the experience of riding in a car. Mm-hmm. But they had built this road, linked this road for people to just enjoy, like, a road trip, like, going across the United States with all these points of, like, that you could see for, like, history or, tourist spots. They started having people camp. They had commercials marketing that people should like vacation by just like taking a camping trip in their car. So then they started calling some of these people tin can tourists, because they would be eating out of tin cans, and then they would leave piles of tin cans everywhere that they were. Aww. Which is horrible.
Yeah, I was kind of turned off by that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's people. People just litter. Mm. Like, I don't understand. Like, who do you think's going to pick that up? Why would you just leave that there? But, so then ranchers and farmers were really, really against them. But some people would set up areas for them to pull over or, like, to camp out. But then towns started to realize that if they made a free campsite for these tourists to pull up to camp, they would spend money in the town. So they started making like free campsites for people to stop at. And that evolved into like cabins. So you could camp free at a campsite, or you could pay a little bit of money to stay at a cabin. And then the cabins evolved into like motels. Right? That's why they were like in a strip. Is because they were like cabins, and then they used to have a parking space in between each room. So you would get like a little cabin that would have like a bed, a shower, and like a toilet, indoor plumbing. And then you'd have a car spot for you to park your car underneath like a carport. And then the next room would start, which is kind of cool.
Are you talking, is this later than like the 1918?
Oh, yeah.
I think this is like 1920s, 30s.
Okay. Yeah, people started realizing that they could make money off of people. Yeah. Touring across the U.S. I would have been totally into this. Like, it was all about, like, so they, one of the reasons why they started it is because they felt like it was very patriotic. Like, it was very American to be able to just drive and experience everything, like, be free. I totally would have loved this.
Yeah,
you can still do it.
I'd like to see America. I live here and I don't think I've seen half of it, or even a quarter.
Yeah, right.
So I started researching this, and I'm like, Sam, I want to drive across the country on Lincoln Highway, and I want to come back on Route 66, because it goes from California to Chicago, and it takes like a slightly more southern approach.
Yeah, I was at the
Lincoln Highway.
I was at the Route 66 end in California, which I think was Malibu or San Diego, or I don't know. We traveled from Los Angeles down to San Diego. It was in there somewhere. I think it was up more in Los Angeles though.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've never like really cared to visit California, but like on a trip like that, I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But like 2 hours in, I'd be like, this was a mistake.
Yeah. What did Sam say when you said that? She's like, see ya.
No, she's like, yeah, I'd like to do that too, but we have a 1 year old. And so maybe like whenever he goes away for summer camp or something, we'll do something like that.
You mean when he comes to his grandmother's house?
Yeah, whenever we're like, hey, we'll be back in 2 hours. And we just drive across the country.
Yeah.
We meant 2 months.
I wouldn't care. I'd be like, all right, it's fine.
We've been waiting for this.
You'd come back to a really spoiled little boy, though.
I don't know. You guys might make him cut grass and stuff.
Pull weeds, yeah. Pull weeds, do landscaping. That's true.
Learn the way of the world.
Yep.
I'm going to skip to 1928. Do you have anything between where we are now and then?
You should know me by now. I don't have any dates.
Okay. In 1928, the Boy Scouts of America placed 3,000 Lincoln Highway markers. I think this was about the same time that... I think this was about the same time that they were giving the states the like Route 30 markers instead of calling it Lincoln Highway, it was starting to be called Route 30 to avoid confusion, because people would be getting out of their cars at intersections and there'd be a sign pointing west that said Pittsburgh and a sign pointing, all right, that doesn't make sense, pointing east that says Pittsburgh and west that says like Cleveland and north that says Erie. But there would be like 10 different things on this sign. So to like avoid the confusion, they were just going to a numbered system. So you could look at the road and see where it's going to, like on a map, I mean. So Lincoln Highway was kind of losing its name and becoming Route 30 for most of the country. I think like in other parts of the country, it's called Route 1, 50, 40, and 530. And I think that now part of Lincoln Highway turns into I-80. I don't remember what state that was. Anyway, yeah, 3,000 Lincoln Highway markers. And I've never seen one of these until like a month ago. I did a geocache in West Virginia. And there was, like, you would go to like this, these coordinates, and there was a little stone pillar that had a little, looked like a penny, but about 6 inches across instead of however big a penny is. Mm-hmm. And it would like tell you about the history of that marker. And then it would tell you to go to these other coordinates. And it took me to another marker and it told me about like the history in that spot. And I think we went to like 7 of them that night of those little markers. So that's cool. I never even knew they existed. And they were, I wonder how many of them are near where we live and just we never notice it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, I so there was a lady, so they were going over like how the vehicles brought freedom for everybody, but it really brought a lot of freedom for women too, because like if you learned how to drive, you could drive into town and meet up with like your friends, or at that around this time, you could start your own business as a woman. And so that like it gave us the ability to travel on our own, which is really huge. And then there was a doctor named Dr. Grace Raymond Hevard. She was a woman, Dr. Grace.
She's a woman and a doctor.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm just kidding. You're lying.
Yeah, I don't know what year this was, but she had a car, and she would drive Lincoln Highway. She was, like, a historian, so she would, like, her car would break, and she'd get underneath it, and she'd fix it, and then she'd just keep driving, but she marked a bunch of historical sites in, I think, Wyoming, like, with a bunch of markers for people to, like, if you're driving through on Lincoln Highway, you could pull over and then look at this historical site with, like, a placard or whatever. And she set that all up.
Wow.
And so that she got like some kind of award for it too, recognition. Man, words are not my strong point today, and I'm sorry.
I hear about people like Dr. Grace, and I'm like, damn, I am really falling short. I haven't marked one place. I'm not a doctor.
I've
never gotten under a Model T.
Right.
I feel like I would love to see, like, to drive in ride in a Model T. Maybe drive it. I don't know. I feel like it'd be crazy, though. I feel like it'd be scary.
I imagine it would ride really rough. I don't know that, but I imagine it would. Although they were made for, like, really crappy roads, so maybe they were built to absorb a lot. I don't know. Huh. But I imagine they rode real rough.
I want to drive one or ride in one or experience one. I want to experience one in person because, like, that's a huge part of history. And we really just take it for granted. Like, right now I'm working to make cars self-driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, so how nuts is that? But let's start just, like, not even... It wasn't really that long ago. Was that 1913? Remember that they were made affordable?
Yeah.
That's, like... Barely 100 years, right?
The Model T came out in 1908.
Or is that 1,000 years? No, that's 100 years.
That's 100 years.
Okay.
5,000 years.
80 and yeah, I'm not on my game today. I'm not feeling too good.
That's all right. You're allowed to not feel good.
My allergies have been the worst.
Oh, that sucks.
You're allergic to COVID.
I'm allergic to the city. There's something in the city that I'm allergic to. It like it makes my throat really sore. It's probably just pollution. I'm probably allergic to pollution.
That's true. That's not good for anybody.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, right? Oh. But yeah, I've gone to the doctor a couple of times, and they've tested my blood for allergies, and they said that it came back that I was not allergic to anything. So then I set up another appointment, and I was supposed to go in a couple of weeks to go get like that prick test done where they hit you with a bunch of needles and see what you react to.
Yeah.
But we're still in a stand down. Oh, and what a time to cover this story, because like I really want to go on a road trip now, but we can't.
Lockdown, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know when you guys will be listening to this, but this is still, what, this is 3 weeks into COVID-19 state order? I don't know.
April 5th?
Yeah.
Where were you on April 5th, 2020?
They were at home.
Probably.
Most likely.
Driving their spouse crazy.
Most likely, I keep
if they
that.
Have one. I was just thinking, when you were talking about the Model T, I think my dad's first car was a Studebaker.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
I don't know what a Studebaker is, really.
It's the kind that has, like, a rumble seat in the back. Those old-fashioned cars where there was, like, two seats in the back that faced away the other direction, like a station wagon. But it had a top that came down.
That's a fancy car.
Mm-hmm.
Working for the railroad.
Yeah, I don't think he had it long, but I think it was like right after he came out of came back from the war, Korean War.
Oh, that makes sense.
When he had money before he had a family.
That's what happens.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's all I have.
Me too.
What did you learn today, Pete?
Come back to me.
Okay. What did you learn today, Jude?
I learned that Lincoln Highway went across the country, and it was Route 30 that I lived on and should have known this stuff. I think it's pretty cool. I learned a lot of stuff. I learned that my iPad makes a lot of noise that I didn't hear. I'm trying to look up stuff for you with the money thing, and yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear it, so to me, because I didn't hear it, it didn't exist.
That's what happened.
Hopefully
with my
it doesn't
keyboard.
Exist.
That's what happened with my keyboard. Like, I was like, oh, I can't hear it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, now I feel your pain.
I keep wanting to grab things. I just like picked up a lighter that I wanted to start playing with. I was like, no, that's gonna be noisy. I have a plate next to me with a fork on it. I wanted to, like, tidy it up. Like, nope, it's going to be noisy.
I know.
I learned that Grandpa Ralph had a Studebaker.
Aw.
That's a good one.
Yep.
I learned that we all lived on Route 30.
Yeah,
at some
I didn't
point,
know that either.
But in different houses.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
And I also learned that I really want to drive this. Like... Oh, and I learned that Route 66 is a more southern route that I could take back if I do decide to try to follow along the Lincoln Highway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it comes all the way back to Pittsburgh, but it'll get you most of the way.
It might be worth mentioning, too, that it did evolve and change. Like, the Lincoln Highway, once they made it, it didn't stay the same road. Like, so they would find faster routes or better routes, so then they would change it.
I was told that they're trying to straighten out Route 30, like in between Hookstown and Moon Township. They're gonna try to take out some of the turns.
Yeah. Why?
Because like a lot of people die there.
Well, where?
Because it's so like windy.
Maybe but
they
where?
Shouldn't drive that fast. But I'm not blaming the people that are crashing. I'm just saying that that's kind of what makes Pennsylvania unique, is the windy roads. And I don't know. Maybe it does make a change.
Where between Moone and where? Hookstown?
Hookstown.
Yeah. Like the West Virginia border. It's really windy there. And my dad's a fireman there. And they have fatalities quite often.
That's awful.
That is awful.
Somebody filing their nail.
That is me. I'll put my thing down.
Okay. I'm trying so hard not to touch anything though.
It's really hard. I thought maybe you didn't hear it. Dang it, because I couldn't hear it.
I heard it for a long time and then it would stop.
I have to have my fingers interlocked behind my head now. I'm like,
I also learned that I cannot do anything with my hands. Do not
people
do anything.
Call you out.
Yeah.
All right. Say goodbye, girls.
Goodbye, girls.
Don't be a jagoff.
Get off my planet.
If you enjoyed the episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. You can also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.